This morning we have a number of scripture passages that are there in your bulletins, some which we have already referred to in the call to worship and the invocation, and then some I'm going to be referring to in this message, and others just apply to what's going on now, and that I thought would be helpful for you to know and helpful for you to have. And right now I'm just going to read one of the very, very well-known passages, and it's from Micah. And it lays out so beautifully, so clearly, who we are called to be and what we are called to do. So to the point where it says, "What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Words and a spirit that we can take with us wherever we go, into any situation. And with that, may God bless our living of this word of abundant life. Amen. I'm going to begin this morning with a little mind reading trick, because I think that there are three things that are on the top of your minds that either you're thinking about today or have within the last couple of days. And I'm seeing out there, I'm seeing coronavirus, I'm seeing the economy, and I am seeing protests that are happening all across our nation. Protests including in Fairfield on Tuesday, in Westport on Monday, Norwalk, yesterday, not towns where people usually think of protests taking place. Something's happening. Something's happening here. And then there are protests going on in countless cities and towns all across our country, large and small. As far as that goes, I want to just reiterate Laura's invitation to our Zoom discussion this Tuesday night at 8 p.m., where we are going to be talking directly about race relations, focusing on Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's letter from the Birmingham jail. He was imprisoned in 1963 in the Birmingham jail for peaceful protest, because the court ordered that they were not allowed to protest in Birmingham to help bring about civil rights. In 1963, we put the first man in space in 1961, 2 years earlier, but still imprisoned people for peaceful protest. Why? Just to be treated equally as a human being. In 1963, something's happening here. What's happening? As we all know, civil rights didn't happen with the end of the Civil War nearly 100 years earlier in 1865. And so, because we didn't reach our ultimate goal in those first 100 years, we've been working at equality ever since, kind of like Laura showed with the vacuuming. We try it this way, we try it that way, we might get a little cleaner, we might get a little better. We keep approaching it in different ways. Why equality? Because it's politically correct? Not even close. We work at it as Christians, as people of faith, as human beings, because from the beginning of creation, complete equality was God's design, God's intention, God's vision, God's mandate. And then Christ's vision and Christ's intention. And this has been the truth the entire time. This isn't new. This isn't avant-garde. This isn't something that's popular now. This has been from the beginning, from God. In the beginning, the Bible says, Genesis, which means beginning, God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, He created them. Created in the image of God. Every one of us, therefore, by God's design, every one of us is deserving of that level of dignity, that level of justice. As one in the image of God who is holy, who is sacred, homeless, rich, poor, black, white, male, female, it's God-given the way we treat others. So that's where all of this equality business comes from. And until we stop getting in the way of that, until we stop creating barriers, preventing God's intention, we don't stop. We had the Civil War, good step. Too bad it was necessary to begin with, but good step. But then we had separate but equal. Separate but equal segregation was affirmed by the Supreme Court in 1896 with Plessy versus Ferguson. And it wasn't until 1954 that legal segregation with education was banned with Brown versus Board of Education. And of course, we are still working for equal education. Anyone who thinks that high school students in Bridgeport at Warren Harding High School have the same opportunity as the kids who go to Fairfield Ward and Fairfield Ludlow like our kids did have never been to Warren Harding in Bridgeport. So segregation and unequal treatment, of course it didn't end with the Civil War. And it didn't end in 1896. And it didn't even end in 1954. Because it wasn't until 1964 that the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which became law, by the way, after a 54-day filibuster against it, it was only after that, when it became law, that Jim Crow laws officially became illegal. Not until after July 2nd, 1964, was it officially against the law to discriminate based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. July 1st, the day before, perfectly fine, supported by law. I was 7 years old then, when it was perfectly legal to discriminate. And I remember even after that, going to visit my grandparents in Maryland and seeing white-only restroom signs, seeing no colored signs at the drinking fountain. Now, it wasn't like that in Connecticut where we lived, but it was like that down there. Some people say, what's the issue? What's the issue? We have equality. We've done it. What are they still complaining about? We're not talking about lifetimes past. This is our time. Things that happen in our lifetime, things that happen in my life. And it wasn't until a year later, until 1965, with the Voting Rights Act of 1965, 100 years after the Civil War, that racial discrimination in voting became officially illegal. And even with that law, it wasn't really complete because it had to be amended 5 subsequent times in order to gain the level of equality that we have today. This isn't political. This is spiritual. It wasn't until 1968 that it became officially illegal to refuse to sell or rent a home to a person just because he or she was black. I was 11 years old then. Think of your 11-year-old child. Why do we talk about this in church? Because it all goes back to God. To the very roots of our faith. This is God's issue. Who we are as human beings. How we treat one another as human beings. Because God says so. So of course, equal rights. Of course, equal dignity. Of course, equal love. It's already there from God. That part is a no-brainer. Black and white. It's in the Bible, in the beginning. Equal justice. Equal justice. Now that, on the other hand, how God's mandate gets played out on earth through us, that is a different story. Because that is in our hands. That is in my hands, and that is in your hands. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice. And to love kindness, the heart of our faith. And even further clarified and defined by Jesus Christ with his life. And as far as that goes, we are either with Jesus or we are against him. He is not a la carte. So that foundation of racism, it wasn't gone after the Civil War. And it wasn't gone after 1896. And it wasn't gone after 1954. And it wasn't gone after 1964. And it wasn't gone after 1968 because it doesn't disappear overnight. It doesn't go away with laws. It didn't go away with my grandparents or my relatives in Maryland, where there were still segregated bathrooms. Where they use the N-word pretty freely. It just flowed. That wasn't against the law. That's what I grew up with. Not a hatred. Just a less than. Just a different than. With messages of hold on to your pocketbooks, hold on to your wallet. There are black people here. That's what I was told. Is that appalling? Yes. Is that embarrassing for me to share with you? Was that? Absolutely. So nobody can tell me that this is a past issue, that this is a non-issue. I know what I lived. I know what I was taught. I know what I saw. I know what I heard. I know what my friend said. I know what my relative said, and I know what their friend said. And that was long after 1965. I know what I heard just a few years ago from some people right here in Southport. A few years ago, our daughter was dating a black guy. For a while, she brought him to church. He actually had, which you couldn't see, but he had a scripture passage that was tattooed on his arm. On Sunday, I heard, "Nice man. Just wrong color." But people can change too. Because I also know what my father, now my father grew up with all of this for the first 40 years of his life. Both my mother and my father, they were both from Maryland, Hagerstown, Maryland. And I know what he said when I told him that his granddaughter was dating a guy who was black. And without flinching, my dad said, "Oh, well, is he nice?" As if he didn't even hear the word black, I don't think. I mean, he heard it. And I said, "Very nice." He said, "Great. I hope I meet him sometime." This is the same man, by the way, and I've shared this before, but the same man who, when he was 14 years old, he went to Gettysburg with his parents for the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, and he told me, he just told me this like 3 years ago, he said, "Yep, I shook the hands of soldiers who fought in the North and the South, and my dad just died a year ago." I said, "What?" I said, "You shook the hands of Civil War soldiers?" He said, "Yeah, well, they were old then." It's like us shaking hands now of people who fought in World War II. It's close. It is a lot closer than we like to think. And it's not gone away completely yet. And our job as God's hands and feet here on earth is to take care of all of God's children. God's children. Our own children? Yes. Our friends' children? Yes. Strangers? Yes. All colors, all shapes. It's really not a special thing. It's just simply what God wants us to do. And you know me, I don't tend to think about judgment a lot. But I got to tell you, I do think that on this, we will be judged. Did you take care of my children? Now, God's going to know anyway. But did you speak up for them? Did you support them? Did you help them when they were in trouble? Just as you would with your own children. Well, you know what? These are my children. says God, these are my children. I gave them life. I gave them love. I love them dearly, God says. You asked me to help your children. And of course I say yes. How did you help my children? Did you remain silent when you had an opportunity to speak up and support? Or did you feel like it was good enough already? Well, you know, it was better than it was. Come on. It's better than it was back in the 1700s. It's better than it was in the 1800s. It's better than it was in the 1900s. When do we think enough is enough? What is good enough for God, God's children? In these last few weeks with the killing of George Floyd and the protest, when is enough enough? When have we gotten things good enough and we need to stop with all this? God says equal. Christ says equal. Is good enough when many barriers between God's mandate and our justice have been accomplished? Or when more equality has been accomplished, we've gotten closer, almost all. Or how about not to stop using our efforts until God is fully satisfied? Until God is fully honored? Until all those in God's image are fully respected? In Christ Jesus, our scriptures say we are all children of God. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. And as the hymn says, join hands, disciples in the faith, whate'er your race may be, who serve each other in Christ's love, are surely kin to me. And that is our blessed and our joyful calling. Amen.
God of all creation, you created each of us in your own image, making us a kaleidoscope of multicolored manifestations of you. But we are living in troubled times, God. We are facing head-on a deplorable bias that does not value your varied faces. We see people of color being openly discriminated against. We see some of the beautiful and innocent people you created being murdered in our streets. And so, as people of your peace and of your love, we pray to you, God, that you help us to continue to bear this love and peace to our nation so that all hearts and minds can be open to fight for equal education, an equal job opportunity, and equal housing. The time is now, God. You cry out, who will I send? And we reply, here I am, Lord. Send me. Give us courage when we are afraid. Give us strength when we are feeling weak. Give us curiosity to learn when we are feeling ignorant. Give us compassion when we are feeling deserving. Give us the desire to have open eyes to look at the situation honestly when it is easier to hold tight to our old beliefs and ways. Give us humility when we are listening to the stories of our Black neighbors. Give us clarity of vision so we can see that we are far more alike than we are different. Give us a voice so that we can speak out against injustice and to work for the transformation of unjust systems. And give us generosity of spirit to recognize in all people the face of Jesus, so we can practice his commandment to love one another, so that one person at a time, we can work to bring harmony and peace to all people. And God, help us to continue to be a church that embraces the hopes and fears of oppressed people of color, where we live, on our reservations, and around our world. We are all sisters and brothers walking in the light of your love. So help us to burn brightly for all to see, so that each one of us can become a beacon for hope and acceptance and for change and for love. So we openly and humbly and lovingly pray for our Black brothers and sisters and our police forces, that together all may be safe and all may live together with respect and care for one another. All this we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, who taught us that your greatest will is for us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.